And with me then to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. We're not going to sing it yet, we'll sing on it later. Psalm 116. The psalmist then must have been close to death at one point in his life, and this is his response. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I find trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, I spoke, and I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon thee, and call upon thy name, O Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. An amazing psalm to read even and ponder as you're reading through it. What I thought this morning was that I would focus on one verse, which is verse 15. Precious in his sight, or precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Over the past while, as a society, we've been confronted with death on a daily basis, have we not? We just have to turn on the news of an evening, and we are reminded of the number of people that have died with COVID, not of COVID, but with COVID. And they bombard us with this day and daily. It's interesting, I heard the former leader of the Conservative Party, Duncan Smith, say, why do they not tell us the number of people that have died from cancer? Why do they not tell us the number of people that have died from pneumonia each day? Why particularly just on the COVID? But nonetheless, that's what they are doing. And so we're, in a sense, surrounded by this death that they're putting before us every day. People come through disease on many occasions. I'm sure you've maybe had some yourself and you've come through it. And you get the response of the psalmist then if you've come through an illness. What is your response then to perhaps coming through a serious illness? Well, what about verse 1? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And then verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, perhaps you've been brought low recently, and he helped me, and you're here this morning, so he has helped me. And then after the illness, the psalmist is saying, look, return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I wonder, is that the response of perhaps you or someone else that has called upon the name of the Lord and is now a believer and has gone through a serious time of illness? They find that the Lord is great in mercy, and he abounds in grace towards his people. And perhaps some of you have relatives that have died and they're believers. We need to realize then that the Lord tells us that the death of these saints is precious in his sight. I wonder, have you ever stopped and thought about that? This is a precious thing in the sight of the Lord, that one of your friends, your family, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have through a series of providences have died, and they've left to be with the Lord, and he greets them with, this is precious to me that you've come home to be with me. And so we begin to understand, hopefully, that God speaks through providence. What's the providence behind all of this fixation on death? Why has God allowed this to be brought upon us at this particular time? We forget, don't we, that God brought plagues down on the nation of Egypt at one point in history, that he's in control of all things. He has allowed this particular pandemic, if you want to call it that, this pandemic to come upon us. So what is he trying to teach us at this particular time in the history of humanity, in the history of the church, in your individual history? What do we see from the hand of God's providence as it moves through redemptive history, the history of the church? And I think when we begin to ponder these things, we have to remember, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the just shall live by, you know the answer, don't you? The just shall live by faith, not sight. The just shall live by faith. And I fear through these events, we tend to live in the main, even as believers, by sight, rather than by that faculty, that extra faculty that God has given to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faculty of faith, this gift of faith that was passed to us when we were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So God's word informs us then, as we look out on society, as we look out on the providences nationally and globally, as we look out on his providences in our own lives, we have to remember that we live by faith, not by sight. And what has he said about the saints that die in the Lord? He says, this is precious in my sight. Do we believe that the death of a saint is precious in the sight of the Lord? Have we just read the words, and all they are just words? Have those words impacted upon us, convinced our minds of that particular reality? Not only convinced our minds, but have pressed down into our affections so that we believe this 100%, that the death of a saint is precious in the Lord's eyes. We tend to focus on the world around us, don't we? what the media tells us, what the great God NHS tells us, they'll keep us alive for eternity, won't they? They'll give us eternal life. I think society believes that. That the NHS will keep us alive forever. We won't die because we have the NHS. Or we have what is known as the science. I don't know that any scientist has ever really used that expression, the definitive science. There is no such thing as the science. Let me give you an example. Einstein believed that the cosmos was in a fixed state, that they remained within their orbits, that they didn't move outside their orbits. That was the science in the day of Einstein. But then another guy came along called Hubble. You maybe heard of the Hubble telescope. And as Hubble was looking through his telescope, he noticed that when the light from distant stars came into our atmosphere and went through the prism of our atmosphere, that there was a thing called red shift. All of the colors moved towards the red side in the rainbow of colors that came through that prism. The conclusion was that the planets are moving away slowly. The complete opposite to what Einstein said. The greatest mistake that Einstein ever made in his scientific career. So you see that science changes. Just in case you think I'm purporting a Big Bang theory, I'm not. There were a couple of guys later on called Hawking and Penrose who actually said, if you look at the expansion of the universe as it's moving away slowly, if you extrapolate backwards, you come to zero spatial volume. That's interesting. What can you get in zero spatial volume? Absolutely nothing. So they discovered that the world was formed out of nothing. And so the science catches up with what the Word of God says. But you see that science changes. There is no such thing as the science. So we can't depend too much on science. They've great inventions that have benefited us over the years, and we're thankful for those. But I just want to focus in now on this whole idea that we find in 15, this reality that we find in verse 15 of Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Some might say, well, look, you're being a bit morbid in your old age, Roy. Well, hopefully by the end of this service you will see that dealing with this particular reality is not being morbid. In fact, it's not something, morbidity is not something that should dominate the believer's life. They may wrestle, and that's right, you may wrestle with the loss of someone in their spiritual family. And there will be a grieving process that will be gone through within that process. But there's something different in the death of a saint. Psalm 116. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. Precious. And Christians know 1 Thessalonians 4:13. There is grief in the loss of a loved one who is a saint, but at the center of that grief there is a blessed hope, a sure and certain hope. And that hope is embedded in the death of this loved one that is a believer. Paul tells us in that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, don't grieve as the rest of men who have no hope. Christians, don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Yes, there is grief, but there is hope at the center of that grief. There should be grief. Remember the Lord at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept. There should be grief. But he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus would die again, and he would go to be with the Lord. But we've got to try and get this whole reality into our Christian thinking, don't we? This is not our home. We are just passing through. We're pilgrims here. We're seeking, like Abraham, we're the children of Abraham. We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham didn't receive it in his own day. We might not receive it in our own day, but it's sure and it's certain, and faith sees that reality. You see, the death of a saint, the death of a family member who's a saint, is a loss for us, isn't it? You lose someone that you love. Mother, father, wife, husband, child. There's a lady in an East End Baptist church who lost her child when the child was 17. Many, many years ago now, but she still finds it difficult to cope with the loss of a child. It must be extremely difficult. It isn't the normal pecking order, is it? Usually the parents go first and then the children. But this is reversed. But in reality, the thing that should hold anyone in a situation like this is that for them, it is a loss for a little while. But for the individual that has died in the Lord, it is gain. I think we need to try and grasp that reality as well, don't we? It's a gain for God. It's precious in his sight. It's a gain for them. They're in the presence of the Lord. Loss for us, but gain for the Lord and gain for them. For the Lord, it is blessed in his sight. Yes, it is grief for us, but it is joy for them. Yes, it is pain for us, but it is joy for the Lord. His beloved son or daughter has come home to be with him. Would we deny the Lord that reality? You might ask, is death gain? Well, it is. We read in 1 Corinthians 3:22, all things are yours, things present and things to come. But before saying that, the apostle said, death is yours. All men will die one day, and after death, the judgment. But for the Christian, this is something that they possess. It's theirs. All things are theirs. So among the blessings, Paul says that death is a blessing for the saint of God. Their death is but a departure out of this world into their Father's presence, an entrance into that blessed kingdom of heaven. For them, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, the sting has been taken out of death. For the believer. Ever notice when a believer dies and is mentioned in scriptures, they fall asleep? It isn't that they die. They fall asleep in the Lord. The sting has been taken out of death. No sin will be imputed to them at death. No penalty will be given to them at the point of death. The penalty will not be visited upon them. Their sin was punished in a substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's hill. God's wrath towards sin ceased for the believer at Calvary. Death then does not come to the saint as a punishment, as if they deserve it. No, that's for the ungodly. For the saint of God, it is a gift from God. No sting. It has been taken out of death for the believer. For the sting of death was sin. And the condemnation that came with it has gone as well. Romans 8 verse 1 and following. I wonder what your attitude towards death is as a believer. Have you come to terms with the reality that this is gain? In fact, this is great gain for you. Have you got a heart like old Simeon? Remember old Simeon in the temple, and Mary brought the child to the temple, Luke 3:20 and following. Do you remember that? Do you remember that incident with the old man, Simeon? And he saw the Lord's Christ. What did he say? Is this your attitude? Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. I've seen the Lord's Christ. I want to get out of here. I want to be with him forever. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it this way. Remember, Spurgeon was living in the midst of a plague, cholera from mind, I think it was. So he was living with death on every side. He was burying people every day in his ministry. At one point in his ministry, he thought he was going to die from the disease himself, until he saw a psalm written on a shoemaker's window that his dwelling place was God. The spirit was revived. But here's what Spurgeon says in relation to death. Is this your attitude? A bit of a shocker for me when I read it. He says this of death: I would not miss it. Wow. I would not miss it. Speaking of death. For I was determined to follow in his footsteps. If I had the choice of living till he comes, so as I can only be changed and not die, I would prefer to die. For in this the believer who shall fall asleep will be more closely conformed to Jesus Christ. That's a bit of a stunner, isn't it? He will have passed into the tomb as his master did, and will know as Jesus knows what the death pangs mean. He will also know what it is to gaze upon the invisible while the visible retreats into a distance, as our master did, as our Lord did. No, he said, let us die. The head has traversed the valley of the death shade, and let the members rejoice to follow. There's something about these men in a bygone era that's missing. Oh, but you, but it's missing in my life, I know that. Spurgeon goes on. We know that to die is not to renounce existence. We understand that death is but a passage into a higher and nobler existence. The soul is emancipated from all sinful passing through the Jordan and is present without fault before the throne of God forever. The selfsame day they leave the body, they are with the Lord in paradise, because they are fit to be there, because of the work of Christ, of course. Let us not malign the grave, he said. It is no more a prison, but an inn, a halting place on the road to resurrection. The body could not rise if it had not first died. Where is that type of thinking in the Church of Jesus Christ today? A pandemic comes through, plagues come through. They've done it in the history of the world, time and time and time again. But the saints of God were sure and certain in their faith, and they faced it. depending upon their God. They weren't foolish, but they trusted in God. And hopefully you can see then that death is not a calamity for a Christian. Hopefully you can hear in the midst of the grief, you can hear faith whispering. Listen, do you not hear the singing of your loved ones with the saints that have gone on before in the heavenly choir? We have come to Mount Zion, the city of God, to a multitude of heavenly hosts. Every time we meet like this in worship, that's where we are. Can you hear the saints that have gone on before by faith? I said to you before, and I did like what Sproul said about here. He came into a congregation this side and he said, "I feel so intimidated." "What do you mean?" They laughed. He said, "Do you realize that we've come to Mount Zion, the city of God, to a multitude of heavenly hosts?" They've ascended to their heavenly Father. For them, this is not loss, but glorious gain. Infinite gain. Spurgeon goes on. "One moment, they are so weak that they could not lift a finger." I've been at many a deathbed. And people are lying there, and they can't lift. They can speak. They can possibly hear. But they can't lift a finger. They realize they're just worms, unable to help themselves. And yet, Spurgeon goes on, "In an instant, they are clothed with power." Is this not gain? Spurgeon says. At one moment they have an aching brow, and in an instant they have a crown. Is that not gain? One moment they're sick beyond the help of doctors. Now they're in a place where there is no sickness. Richard Baxter on his deathbed was asked, "Well, how are you, Mr. Baxter?" He answered, "I'm almost well, healed forever." He goes on, death cures. Do you not know that? It's the best medicine. For they who die are almost well, healed forever. Death for the Christian is not a penalty. It's not loss. It's not destruction. It's gain. Gain, gain, gain all the way. Joy, joy, joy all the way. Joy that is unspeakable. They know and understand that he will never forsake them. They know and understand by faith that his rod and his staff will keep them. They believe it 100%, Psalm 23. Not only is it gain for the believer, as I said earlier, it is also gain for their Lord. It is a blessed thing in his eyes to receive one of his children to where they should be, to their real home in heaven. And just to add a little bit more force to the reality of these things, John 17:24, the Lord praying, "Father, I will that those that thou hast given me would be where I am." The death of a saint is an answer to that prayer. I want you to be where I am. I want you, Lord, to bring those people to where I am. Every saint that dies is an answer to that prayer. Would you deny that prayer being answered by trying to hold on to a saint who is dying? Do we want his will in this situation? Will we insist that they must remain with us rather than them hear the bells of heaven ring as they enter paradise? When they receive their inheritance and Christ receives them. Remember Isaiah 53. He will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What about that, Christian? You die in the Lord, and what the Lord Jesus Christ travailed for on Calvary is coming to pass. In a sense, you're birthed into heaven. And he'll receive you there. Heaven will be satisfied. The Father will be satisfied. The Son will be satisfied. The Spirit will be satisfied. Would you begrudge him those for whom he died? In reality, it is a greater cause for joy than sorrow in their departure, for they will be forever with the Lord. I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, I hadn't seen him in years. He probably listened to this because he picks up your sermons on sermon audio. So I hope he'd forgive me for saying this. But he said to me, you know, when his mother died, his mother was a lovely saint. I knew both the mother and the father. The father is still living. And he says, I came to terms with the reality that she'd gone on to be with the Lord. And I didn't grieve overly much for her departure. And I felt so guilty. Shouldn't have felt guilty. His attitude was 100% right. She had gone on to be with the Lord that ushered her in to heaven on that particular occasion. But as we live in the midst of a pandemic, we must continually to remember that if we're still alive, we haven't actually got it. And we should be saying, I love the Lord because he has heard my prayers. He has inclined his ear to me, and I called upon him. Death, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, but I came through it. And I know it was the Lord's hand that preserved me. And so you say to your soul, be at rest. The Lord has dwelt bountifully with you. But remember, death is even more bountiful for the believer. Let's turn to our concluding hymn then. We're going to sing 116, Psalm 116, stanzas 13 through 19. Psalm 116. You never know the trouble that Colin and I went through to get to this Psalm 116. He'll tell you later what actually happened. Psalm 116, verses 13 through 19. I'll of salvation take the cup of God's name will I call. I pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. Psalm 116, we stand the same.